Greet you this morning in the name of the great prophet, the great teacher, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We go on and on with names for the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Mighty One. But I started with prophet and teacher for a reason. This morning, really appreciated the song service and the devotional, and we think about it kind of a dreary day, and it seemed that maybe this morning the singing, and it was the kind of songs that Daniel chose, and it was went well with his devotional. I'm sure that was for a reason, but maybe a little more subdued. The songs were reverent, they were deep. And they were very fitting. And I just felt that calmness. And it wasn't that it was a lack of emotion. It was a different emotion than we sometimes. It was a seriousness. There was what I sensed. And that's good. Nothing wrong with that. Life is serious. Life is real. Mentioned in Sunday school class that what if we died today and went to heaven? Could happen. Begin the message today. I'd like to turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm dealing with a subject this morning that is very big. As I started studying it, I feel like I've barely scratched the surface, and yet I feel like I have more material than what we can get through today. And so we're just going to stick with a few chapters kind of in the New Testament. We're not going to get around a whole lot. Bring in a few verses here and there. I'm going to go through a couple chapters on the subject. And had a conversation this week with someone concerning, we're talking about different heresies, different false teachings. And it's been on my mind a little bit. And the book of Jude had come to mind about thinking of false prophets and false teachers and the danger of that. That's what we'd like to look at this morning. And so this is a message of warning, a message of danger, a message but also not one that I hope that we will not leave without a sense of hope and a sense of safety, and that God will not let us down. But there are people out there wanting to deceive us. There are people, and there's a big conspiracy by a person, or not a being, called the devil. And he's conspiring for our souls, and we must watch. We must be sober. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'd like to read the first three verses as an opening here. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Peter says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." So we have a couple of just the things to note about the false prophets. It says they were also among the people, even in the Old Testament. And we see that. There was false teachers. There was people wanting to draw the people of God away from God all the time. There was people that did not like that. We have Balak and Balaam. We have people like that were trying to destroy the people of God. And sometimes they had some success. And behind that, I believe, was the devil. And he is trying to destroy us. And we need to take that seriously. We'll talk about that at some other point. We also, in verse 2, something to point out there that I noticed. It says that many shall follow their pernicious ways. And so just because there's a leader, just because there's a teacher that many people are following, does not mean that he's not a false prophet. It does not mean that he's not a false teacher. There's not necessarily safety in numbers in the spiritual realm. Many times it's the opposite. And so just because, everybody is going by this teaching does not mean, and it's always never everybody, but that in our minds sometimes that's the way we think. It doesn't mean that's the truth just because a lot of people are doing it, because many, it says, unfortunately, shall follow their pernicious ways. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words. And so We think about that. Some of these very famous preachers and teachers in our day and TV preachers and so forth, and their message is always, send me some money. And that covetous, and whenever there's that spirit, there's a couple themes as we go through here, as we look at false teachers. Many times there's covetousness and there's fornication and adultery. Those things are often present with false teachers. So those are, whenever those things are present, beware of a teacher. All right, now let's jump down and read verses 4 through 9. It says, for if God spared not, well, actually, I'm going to skip that part, but this, it simply talks about, just for the sake of time, it talks about the times that God spared God didn't spare the angels that sinned. God didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't spare, even though he pulled Lot out, it says in verse 7. So it's just basically saying that it's bringing out the point that if God didn't spare all these people, he didn't spare the old world, but he destroyed it, but he saved Noah. And if God didn't spare all those people, why do you think that he would spare us if we wandered away from God? And that's the whole point of verses 4 through 9. And in verse 10, he says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And I wonder sometimes, this verse kind of struck me here. And there's another place where it also talks about kind of the same kind of thing. These people that despise government, that despise authority. And that's also a mark. That is, how often have we been caught criticizing those in government or in any kind of authority? We better be careful, because that is a mark of a false teacher. That is a mark of getting off track. That's what these people, the devil wants to get in there. And yes, many of these leaders in our day are very evil people. They are, but they got, in other places in the New Testament, it talks about they were set up by God. And we better be careful. We can call out their unrighteous deeds. That's okay. But we better be careful how critical we are of their position or of getting involved in those things. In verse 11, he says, for as angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. So he says, even the angels did not dare to bring accusations against the devil. It says, but these are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understood not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery. Remember what I said earlier. And that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart that have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Again, we have covetousness and we have adultery in these things. This sin, this spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. The end of such rebels. Verse 14, I read that already. Let's move on to verses 15 to 16. It talks about which have forsaken the right way. Again, these people that have wandered away, they are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Let's not be that way. God forbid. But many people, they love sin. They love to be in sin. Let's not. Those kind of people are not people that we need to follow after. They're probably following a false teacher. They're following the devil. And we have we'll talk maybe more about Balaam in a little bit. But the sin of Balaam was God did not let him curse the children of Israel, but he told Balak, if you go and you compromise and you send the women in there to sleep with the men and to marry the men, intermarriage and so forth, you would draw them away. And it worked so well, and there was a great slaughter of judgment came upon the children of Israel. Many people died because of that. Because of that compromise of trying to mix good and evil. But Balak, the king Balak, was the one that wanted to destroy the children of Israel. And he had sent for the prophet Balaam and had asked him to curse him. And he was unsuccessful in that, because Balaam, he just couldn't curse him. He kept blessing him instead, and it made him very angry. What are you doing? Why are you blessing him? And then he'd try again, and he would just bless him instead, because God would not allow him to curse him. But then he was able to destroy them in another way, in a roundabout way. Very unfortunate. Basically, these compromises. Talks about Balaam, verse 16, he was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. And then he goes on to say in verse 17, about these empty teachings. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them than to have not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. For it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And so here again we have the idea of these people. They speak all these nice words, these beautiful words. They're so well spoken. And people follow after them. And they promise this beautiful liberty where you can just do whatever you want and still will follow God. And that is a false teaching. Those are false teachers. Well, there's no obedience required. Very prominent in our day. We must be careful. They promise them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption, it says. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. And I'm not taking away from spiritual liberty. That is, we are free in Christ, but there is many a misunderstanding of the Christian liberty. We must seek God through that and to understand the freedom in our hearts, the freedom to follow God. It's not the freedom to do whatever we want. Our flesh is corrupt. Our flesh is evil. And yet it can be redeemed. And we'll maybe talk about that as well soon. Because some of these chapters kind of go hand in hand. And he talks about people who have once followed God and then have wandered away. It's like a dog eating his own vomit. And nice clean, you take a pig and you wash him all up nice and clean. But the problem is he's still a pig. And he goes right back to the mire. We are who we are. Truth will come out. Now let's turn to let's look at some warnings of false teachers. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 15 to 23. Matthew 7, verse 15. Says simply, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I think this is a very common passage here. This is a very easy passage to understand. He says to come that there's these prophets out, these false teachers out there, and they look like a sheep at first glance, but they don't act like a sheep. They don't have what is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. They don't have those things. They can't bawl like a sheep. They can't eat grass like a sheep because they're a wolf. Even if they're wearing sheep's clothing, they're trying to act like a sheep. But with a little bit of vigilance, with a little bit of watching the flock, we can see where the wolves are. In a real sense, many of us are familiar with sheep and livestock. I think if you would be watching 100 sheep and there was a couple wolves in there dressed like sheep, just a little bit of observation, you could tell which ones they were by their fruits. That's how we spot a false prophet. That's how we spot false teachers. People who say one thing and do another. And you know, I'm not saying, you know, we all fail. We certainly do. but I think we understand what he's saying here. A sheep, when he's corrected, will quickly go back. Matthew 24 now. This is the chapter of much warning, a chapter of much prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world. I think it's a parallel scripture. It applies to both. Matthew 24. We can't read the whole chapter, but we're going to read verses 10 through 13. Matthew 24, 10 through 13, and then we're also going to read a little bit more at the end of the chapter. First, we'll read in Matthew 24, verse 10, and it says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Again, sorry, I'm going to read one more verse. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Again, a very sobering verse, a very sad verse. "Because many shall be drawn away." Again, just because a lot of people are doing it does not mean it's a good idea. Just because a lot of people are doing it does not mean it's a right and a truthful teaching. "Because many false prophets will arise and will deceive many, and the love of many shall wax cold." God, very unfortunate. God forbid that we are found there. I don't think we are. But this is a warning. Let's jump to verse 23. He says, "And if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Again, he says, don't listen to people. If they say, "Here, Jesus, Christ has come back," or "He's coming back on this certain day." Just recently, they've been doing this again where they're predicting Jesus Christ come back a certain day. That is right there. We know he's a false prophet. Because he said, right here, he tells us clearly. Somebody says that, don't listen to him. Because as the lightning comes down, you're going to know when Jesus is here. And he even says, well, sometimes we don't know how to relate to some of these things. Well, it seems like they're doing miracles and they're doing great things. But some of their doctrine is just like, that can't be right. Here he says they're going to be able to do them. And he says, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But I've struggled with that. And one time I asked, somebody mentioned to me, he said, well, it says, if it were possible. Is it possible to deceive the elect? And I think not. I think not if we are seeking God. And again, one thing I want to bring out in this, as I study this, is, again, it was kind of a negative connotation here, a warning, and it's heavy. And we need to be warned about these things. We need to talk about these things, these false prophets, these false teachings, these false doctrines, these heresies that have cropped up over and over. They started in the early church. They identify many of these things in every generation. It seems they want to pop up again. And there's just no new thing under the sun. And we're seeing them again in our day. But the point is, we need to talk about them, but rather than trying to identify them all and tamp them all down and make sure we're all warned about it, let's focus on Jesus. Let's focus on the right. And then when we're doing what's right, you know, if you're eating real mashed potatoes all the time and then someone brings you instant mashed potatoes, you can taste the difference, can't you? But if you're eating them all the time, you get used to it. But we focus on the true and the right and the good. And then the false teachers, they don't have as much sway. They're not appealing because we are settled. We know where we're going. We understand and it's a much better approach to be focused on what's good, yes, identifying the bad, but moving on. We start focusing on all the bad, then we're liable to get caught up in it. It says, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." I don't know what all exactly he's talking about there. But maybe, I think one lesson we can take from that. A dead carcass. And we see, we've all seen buzzards here. It says eagles. Well, there's a bad or rotten doctrine. Look who's following it. Don't be like the buzzards. Let's go to the book of Jude and read part of that. The book of Jude is kind of in three sections. The book of Jude is right before Revelation, by the way. Just one chapter. And it's a warning against false prophets. The first three verses are basically an introduction. We're going to skip that. And we're going to read the warning right now. Later we're going to go back and read the rest of the chapter. For right now we're going to read verses 4 through 19. 4 through 19 is a warning against false teachers. Jude, verse 4, says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, denying Jesus. Denying Jesus is who he says he is. Right away, false prophet. And he says these men they crept in unawares. They were among the people. And he was one of the apostles. He was warning them. Run away from this. They were before of old ordained. This was going to happen. They were there to test the church. But it didn't mean they were good men. Ungodly men, it says. They were, again, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. It's the thing of turning, giving license to sin, giving license to just do whatever I want because the grace of God is going to cover it. That teaching was right here in the early church, very soon after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. They were already dealing with this. Verse 5, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." Again, this is a very parallel passage to what we have read in 2 Peter, is it not? Here we have, again, bringing up the thing of Sodom and Gomorrah. And here in a minute, it talks about Cain and Balaam and Korah, Dathan and Abiram and their rebellion. And again, here he says, they speak evil of dignities. I take that to mean they speak evil of people in authority. Again, this is the very same thing. It's coming out here twice, different writers. We better take it seriously. It says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee." Again, you mentioned that in Peter, where even the angel did not dare to speak against the devil, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." And there you see people out there, they're like, you know, "I'm going to go whoop the devil's tail." Comments like that. That's probably a false teacher, because even the angel Michael, the archangel, didn't dare to do that to the devil. And yet, we don't need to go around and be afraid of the devil. But the devil has real power to deceive us, and we better watch out for him. It says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." Again, just I get the idea that these people are just following their base passions and just doing whatever the flesh wants. He says, verse 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." What did Cain do? He followed his own lusts. He was prideful. He had to put away the people that the good away from him. Those are the kind of things we see in false teachers. "And they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." If you remember the Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they rebelled against Moses, and they were viciously punished for that. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. Very serious in the eyes of God. "So these are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water." Notice the imagery here. They're spots in your feasts of charity. They are clouds without water. They are carried about with winds. "Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." Useless teachings these false prophets have. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That sounds very empty and hopeless, those verses. And then he mentions Enoch in verse 14, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam, very early on in the history of time, says, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. It says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, he says, remember ye the words which are spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Again, the fruit of these teachers, the fruit of the people who teach these things. Look closely, look deep. They might look good. They might look like a sheep at first glance, but I guarantee you the fruit is not there. Should be mockers in the last time who shall walk after their own ungodly lusts, false teachers, false prophets. I'd like to take a little time now to just run over a couple, some false examples of false teachings that we need to be aware of in our day. And many of them, if not all, I'm sure are the same ones they were dealing with. That Peter, again, I think it's very fitting that these books of the Bible, they were probably written after some of these others, but the church had been going for a little bit, and the apostles were probably getting old, and we have John, and we have Peter, and we have Jude, and they see this danger. They see there's people out there deceiving and trying to, they're imposters, and the devil is trying to use them to get people away. Even in the book of Matthew, let's turn to Matthew 15. And I can't be up here and mention every false teaching and every false doctrine. Again, it's not even wise to focus on those things. It's good to bring some out. That's nothing wrong with that. But I'm here to encourage us to watch and to smell everything out and to be aware. It's like that old buck or that old doe when you're deer hunting, and they're cautious and they're smelling, and if the wind starts swirling, they get nervous because they can't tell where the danger's at. That's the way we need to be. Matthew chapter 15, verses 2 through 11. And here we have the disciples talking to Jesus. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. This is the Pharisees coming to Jesus. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that this defileth a man. And so we had a situation here where the scribes and the Pharisees, they were adding these things to the commandments of God. And we don't have time to go into all this. And people, again, they use this for an excuse then to say that nobody can tell me what to do or anything. That's not what this is saying at all, I don't think. But we cannot hold anything to the same standard of the Bible. We cannot add to the Scripture. And that's what Jesus clearly said here. And what they were doing is while they were adding these things to the law and saying, well, you have to do this, there was other things that they had worked around where they were not even, things they did not want to do. And it was gross hypocrisy. And Jesus here called them out for it. Holding commandments of men the same as the doctrines of God. And again, you know, there's we just talked about, the idea of God-ordained authority and government or whatever, and how we are, it's clearly said that we are not to rail against them, even if they call us to do things. But if they're saying that it's the same as God's commandments, then that is wrong. It doesn't mean that we can't respect that people in government or whatever, but it means that we don't take our spiritual advice from them. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Excuse me for a minute, having a time getting there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we have verses 4 through 10. 1 Timothy 1, 4 through 10. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Again, here we have the idea of the law is good in its good and proper place. He says, don't give heed to these fables. It doesn't matter. So again, the Jews wanted to have all these things, these genealogies, to make sure they could trace their line right back to Abraham. And they would claim, you know, the Pharisees that, well, you know, they even told Jesus at one time, you know, we're sons of Abraham. We don't know who you are, but we know where we're at. And Jesus basically told them that, you know, that you're not sons of Abraham because you don't do the works of Abraham. You're not following Abraham. You're doing your own thing. And again, that's what he's pointing out here. Those things are not, that's not what it doesn't matter what your background is, these things. It's whether or not. Again, and here he points out that the law is a good thing. Again, he almost contradicts himself, you know, but he doesn't. But it's made for a righteous man. Follow these things. And people say that, you know, again, that God, that's a mark of a false teacher, where the commandments of God don't matter. That's not what Jesus said here, or said back there in Matthew. But here in Timothy, Paul is saying, the law is a good thing, and it's made for those that are disobedient, and it's not used to control people and so forth, and to add to it. Let's go now to the book of 1 John. We have a couple of them. Again, notice these are all toward the back of the New Testament, or most of these anyway. 1 John chapter 4. And John, again, and then you have John writing the book of Revelation too. But first four verses of John chapter 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Again, this is pointing out the what's known as the heresy, or the belief of Gnosticism, where everything, they separate the spiritual, and they try to say that Jesus didn't really come to earth. That was just a spiritual manifestation and things like that. And there's also this belief, and you see it, it's becoming prominent again, where, you know, we just know things, you know, because the Spirit of God told me, and, you know, there's no, but not based in facts, and people's lives get destroyed. I've seen that happen with my own eyes because of just, you know, well, I know, but I don't know. I don't have any facts, but I just know, because beware. Be rooted in facts and logic. Knowing what the Spirit of God, Anything that wants to separate those things that is a false doctrine, is a false teaching. 1 John chapter 2, if we can just back up to two chapters there, verses 16 to 18. 1 John 2, verse 16, he simply says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And so people want to, you know, fear monger and use these things. Well, you know, the Antichrist is going to come here. He says there's many. Anybody that is working against Christ is an Antichrist. These false prophets, these false teachers that are not following, not pointing people to Jesus. They are Antichrists. And we need to watch and beware. God keeps his church pure. Verse 19, it says, "Then went out from us, but they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." And so I must have been something here, I don't know, with some people that had left or whatever, that he points out that they were not really there. God has sent them away. God purifies his church. Another one I have is just maybe some things that I'm fast running out of time here for where I wanted to end, but just some other doctrines and things that are out there that we hear all the time, and you can assign names to them like universalism or pluralism, where all religions, you know, this is a very common belief here in America in our day, that all religions are valid paths to God, and you know, you just need to you know, whatever God is, you know, whether it's Allah or Buddha or whatever, as long as you're, you know, they all lead to the same end. And that is a heresy, that we can't go down that road. Jesus Christ himself said that I am the way, the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think we understand that. We have the a variation of that was called inclusivism. A lot of isms here, where you know, one religion may be the best, but you know, as long as you're, you know, if you are a little bit on the wrong path, and as long as you're sincere, you know, God will overlook all kinds of things. And I hope that God, there is grace there for us, because I'm not going to get everything right. But I think if our hearts are right, then God will show us. God will bring us in that way. But this idea of as long as I'm sincere in whatever I'm doing, then God will overlook whatever. You know, that's not right, because we can be sincerely wrong about something. And it doesn't matter. You know, I can sincerely as I want believe that, go out here and turn right up the four lane and believe I'm going west. But I'm not going west, I'm going east. And that doesn't matter how hard I believe that, how sincere I am. It will not take me to the right place. We also have this thing, something called modalism. And I've ran into this myself. And it's basically the idea that of the Trinity. Instead of a triune Godhead versus a Trinity, where there were just three different manifestations of God, but you know, there's not actually three distinct beings. And people, it's the idea of this thing where we got to understand exactly how everything works. We're not meant to. We just need to take it by faith that Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're all three, but yet they're all one. We can't understand it as humans, but we need to take it by faith. Instead of trying to twist it around, the Bible's very clear about that. We don't have time to go into all that. Think about the doctrine of Calvinism. Again, very dangerous. Give many people a false sense of hope. And there's variations of that, sure. But it's a false teaching. The idea that we cannot choose for ourselves whether or not to be saved, or we can't lose our salvation, things like that. I'm just going to call it a heresy right here. One we're familiar with. Many dear friends that believe in these things. It doesn't mean they're right. It's because they're dear friends. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's see what are we supposed to do from here on out now. Think about all. There's many more we could go to. Again, I could just scratch the surface. I didn't have time to go into all these things. I knew I was going to run out of time. We go back to the book of 1 Timothy. Chapter 4, and there's Paul writing to Timothy and giving him some good advice. How do we save ourselves from these things? 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times," I think that's where we're at, "says some shall depart from the faith." That's sad. "Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Just because it's a doctrine doesn't mean it's a doctrine of God. It can be a doctrine of devils. "To speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." And so again, here we had, think about this time frame, coming out of the early church, the Jews, where they had a very hard time with the Gentiles coming in and not having to be circumcised and being allowed to eat whatever and not having to follow the old law, basically. And here he simply says, these are a marks of a false teacher, of a false doctrines. People that forbid to marry, people that command people to abstain from certain meats, or it goes back to following the law. It says, "For every good creature is good." These were things telling a young pastor here, telling him how to discern these things. Verse 5, "For he is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Again, a little bit ago, we mentioned bad doctrine. Here we have, he says, to follow good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So Timothy was looking for these things. But he says in verse 7, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Don't be distracted. Follow God. Again, what I was saying earlier, focus on God, but watch out for these false doctrines. Watch out for these false teachers, because they're everywhere. Verse 8, he says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation." Worthy to accept these things. The word accept, to take, to embrace. Verse 10, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Again, he just imploring him to just do what you know is right. "Just till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that their profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So we aren't just studying these things. We aren't just identifying these false doctrines for our own good, but to for our children, for those that come after us, for those around us. We can warn, we can meditate, we can read the scripture. All right, now in closing, let's go back to the book of Jude again. And here, again, it's a short letter. This letter from Jude. But he closes it out to his readers by saying, "But ye, beloved," again, pointing the way to go. First he warned them, and now he's pointing them in the right direction. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now here we have prayer. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference." Use some discernment, he says. Do what you have to do. And others, he says, "Save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." Meet people's needs. Meet them where they are. Bring them in. They need a stern warning. They need some compassion. Verse 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Don't miss that. We don't need to be afraid that we're going to fall because God is able. Yes, on our own strength, we will fall. We will be deceived. But he says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and what? To present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jesus has exceeding joy to present you to the Father as a faultless child of his. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Again, closes it out with giving glory and majesty to the only wise God, the source of all wisdom. We don't have to be afraid if we are following and praying to and reading His Scriptures. The most, the only wise God. There is no other one. We don't need to be afraid. And that's what I really want to leave with us. Because when I start thinking of false teachers and being deceived, I can get a little nervous. But we don't need to be. Because it's not possible to deceive the elect if they're following God. It's possible to deceive the same people if they take their eyes off the right thing. And that's what I want to leave with us this morning. Let's watch and be sober. Because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking around seeking whom he may devour. Shall we kneel and pray?